Let's take our Bibles now, if you would, please, and turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and our focus verses for the sermon this morning will be verses 13 and 14. We're going to read Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 14. This is the word of the Lord, holy and inspired by God, from God, written to you, His people. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks, Lord, that you have given us such words of kindness and instruction and correction. And not only that, Lord, you have given us your spirit to teach us and to help us understand your truths and to put them to practice in our life. We give you thanks for these things, Lord, and we do ask once again that you would cause them, Lord, to be written on our hearts and minds, and that you, Lord, by your spirit, would empower us to believe and to obey these things. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, God is not shy about giving us talents to do and to perform in our Christian life for his kingdom. He is also not shy in telling us that we cannot accomplish these tasks that he gives us apart from him. And while all of our salvation in Christ is totally dependent upon Christ, we are by faith to be working out our salvation as we live this life. We are to be running this race that we just read about, the race of faith in Jesus Christ in the midst of persecutions and trials and chastening. And we are to never stop running. It is a lifelong process that we are to never give up on, and keeping our eyes on Jesus all along the race. And no matter what we may come to, we are to keep running, and we are to run this race together. Yes, we have individual races to run, but we as the body of Christ are to run these races together. The title of the sermon this morning is No One Left Behind. The Spirit of God is exhorting us here in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 to 13, to keep running the race, but to not leave anybody behind. To keep running the race, but to run it together, and to keep believing together the good news of Jesus Christ, no matter what may come to us. And if you're like me, throughout the course of your life, you've probably seen men or women or young people who once claimed to be and seemed to be vibrant Christian people, professors of the Christian faith, to now be living outside of faith in Christ. These are people who would tell you they profess to be believers for many years, and yet now they profess not to be believers. Something happened in their life that caused them to turn away from faith in Jesus Christ. Now, oftentimes we think and have concern for our young people who are raised in the church all their young lives, that they may, when they get up out of the home and get out on their own, that they may turn away and not walk according to the faith they once professed. And that's a legitimate concern because it happens all the time. In fact, when we were on the campus of Mizzou this week, I think there were three different people that I talked to who said they were raised in the church, but they no longer believe. But this also happens to faith in Jesus Christ during their adult life, only to turn away from believing the gospel because the race became difficult in one way or another. And these Hebrew Christians that the Spirit is writing to here, they were professing faith in Christ, and yet it was costing them community, costing them family relationships, economic status, and social status. You may recall from the book of Acts that when the Apostle Paul was stoned and left for dead in Acts chapter 14, verses 19 to 22, when they thought he was dead, he got up and he began preaching again. And the scripture says, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. This was his message after he was stoned and left for dead. He got up and preached and said to the other disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. And so we are being told here that this race of faith comes through many tribulations. There are going to be sorrows. There are going to be times of hurt and pain. There are going to be times of great difficulty. And that difficulty is going to be to continue to believe in God, though you are suffering, sometimes for His sake, but also suffering maybe because of other reasons. And sometimes God is not going to seem that God is there. And we must remember Paul's words that we are to continue in the faith, and we, the church, must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. And so the Spirit of God is saying to us here in verse 12, he says, therefore, in other words, based on what the Spirit has just been telling us in Hebrews chapter 12, about running this race, about keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ, about suffering and enduring through chastening and trials. Based on all that, the Spirit tells us to run all the way to the end, leaving no one behind. And you may recognize that phrase, leave no one behind. It's an old military term where these soldiers who have gone to battle had committed themselves to not leave any of their troops behind. And sometimes there was such a commitment to this principles that soldiers would risk their lives to go back and retrieve somebody whose body was dead, because they had this principle in mind that nobody was to be left behind. And we have a similar duty to one another. We are not to take the position that we run this race alone, and as long as I'm doing well, there's nothing else for me to do. We are the body of Christ, and we are not to leave anyone behind. We run and we fight together. So in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 to 13, the Holy Spirit gives us specific instructions on how we are to run the race together. And firstly, he tells us that we are to strengthen those who are weak. Strengthen those who are weak. Secondly, make straight paths for your feet. And thirdly, bring healing to those who are lame. And these are the things, the topics that we're going to look at. So first, strengthen those who are weak. We see this in the first part of verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and feeble knees. And so he's given us a description of those who are struggling in the faith. And he's given us a command to strengthen those people. Strengthen, to lift them up. I can recall in my days of running cross country in high school, the many times I thought about in the middle of a race of quitting. For one reason or another, maybe the terrain was too difficult, or maybe I hadn't hydrated myself enough, or maybe I hadn't trained properly that week. But in the middle of a race, I would sometimes feel like quitting and wonder, what is all this for? Why am I doing that? That is a legitimate question when you're running cross country. But I had a friend, and his name was Griff. He was a better runner than me, better athlete, but he wasn't really out there to win cross-country races. He was out there just to run to stay in shape for his favorite sport, which was basketball, which was coming up after the cross-country season. But there would be times when he would be coming up behind me only to catch up to me and see me struggling and slow his pace down until he got me through a hard spot. And he would run with me until he saw that I had got my second wind, so to speak. And no doubt in this Hebrew church that this letter was originally written to, there were people like that, some who were facing greater struggles than others. There were those who likely had professed faith in Christ and started showing signs of turning back to Judaism. These were the people who were, whose hands were hanging down, whose knees were feeble. They were starting to be stumbling in their faith. And we see that in the church today as well. There are those who start out walking in the truth of God's word, and then when a crisis or tough trial comes, and it shakes them. And it causes them to wonder, are the things that I have professed to believe really true? Or are they worth going through this suffering that I am going through? And we see this usually give evidence to itself when someone who has been faithful and coming to worship and Bible study and things like that, and then they start to make themselves a little less available to the people that they once were available to. They start missing attending worship. And before you know it, they've turned away from the faith. And I have memories of talking to some people about this who tell me that they never heard a word from the church. These are the people whose hands are hanging down and they begin to wobble because their knees are weak. That's how we often see it manifested, but it often starts earlier than that before we are able to see it. When you are running a race and you begin to be weak, there are signs that give evidence that you are struggling. If you know anything about running races, you know that when your hands start to go down, you lose strength and you lose power because your hands are used to pump and to pump your lungs and to drive air in and out of your lungs. And that's how runners run. And so this phrase here, strengthen the hands which hang down, is talking about people who are losing it. Talking about people who are becoming weak in their faith. When the hands stop moving and the hands stop pumping, you slow down. And when the knees begin to be weak, you can't take the punishment that the race course presents to you. And you won't be able to use your legs or your hands for speed and power. And sometimes runners do quit races because of these issues as they're running. And sometimes Christians do struggle. Sometimes those who once professed faith in Jesus Christ stop professing faith. The Spirit of God is exhorting us to be looking out for one another, to not let this happen. There is a command here for us as Christians. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. He's not just talking about you doing that for yourself, but having your eyes open to other Christians who might be suffering these things in their race of faith. And we are not to abandon them and just run on ahead. We are to come alongside them and strengthen them and to lift them up. One of Job's friends, when giving him counsel, said of Job, talking to him and about him, he said to Job, "Surely you have instructed many, and you have strengthened weak hands. Your words have upheld him who was stumbling, and you have strengthened weak knees." That's what somebody testified about Job. It is our role as members of the body of Christ to strengthen one another. Job did it with words of encouragement and instruction. And it is not that we would just come along by somebody and say, "Oh, I hope you'll get better and do better." When we come along aside somebody who is struggling with their faith, we are to come alongside them in this race and point them to Jesus Christ. Point them to Jesus Christ. You see, the person who is struggling in their faith, that's what they need. That's what we've been exhorted to do here in chapter 12. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so when someone starts to break down in faith, when someone starts to get off course, this is how we come to them, to strengthen them. To strengthen and raise up their hands. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 14, which we have been to before, tells us this: "Beware, be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily." Here is that command for us to care for one another. Exhort daily. "While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." And so that's what we're seeking to do when we come along somebody who is starting to falter, who is starting to fail in the race, whose hands are hanging down and their knees are becoming feeble and they are no longer running well. We come alongside them and we point them to Jesus Christ. I want to bring this home to you today and ask you, do you know of someone right now who once professed faith and is now not running the race of faith? And if you do, are you in a position where you could go to that person to strengthen them with the Word of God? To take them and help them and point their eyes to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of the faith. Now, it's not your responsibility to make them come back. That's not what the Lord is calling you to do, for only He can do that. But it is our duty and our responsibility as to others to call to go to them and help lift up their hands and strengthen their feeble knees by lovingly calling them back to Christ. Do you know of anybody like that? That God has placed in your sphere of life, who once professed faith in Christ, and now is not walking that way? Could it be that the Lord would have you go to them and remind them of these truths that the Spirit of God refers to in verse 12 when He says, "Therefore," to remind them to put their eyes of faith back on the Lord Jesus Christ, who endured hostilities from sinners, which means and points us to the cross, That's the way you come alongside somebody who is struggling in their faith. That's the way you strengthen them. That is the way that you help them, is by reminding them of what Jesus Christ has done for them. Enduring the cross. Suffering hostilities from sinners. This is our duty. This is what we are being commanded to do here. Strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Sometimes running the race of faith is extremely difficult. Not everybody runs at the same pace. Not everybody runs with the same strength. And sometimes people get really weak in the race. And so the Spirit of God is reminding us here of what we are to do when somebody's hands are down and their knees are wobbly. And maybe they've given up, or maybe they're about to give up. We are called to come alongside them and strengthen them. Secondly, we are called to make straight paths for our feet also. Verse 13. And make straight paths for your feet. So it's not only in this race of faith that we are concerned with others, but we are to be concerned with others. But in a very real sense, by making straight paths for our feet, we are helping others as well. And here the Spirit of God is alluding to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 26 to 27, which says, "Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or left. Remove your foot from evil." Logically speaking and thinking about these things, it would be very difficult to come alongside somebody who is struggling in their faith and to exhort them to keep running the race of faith if you are not on the right path as well. Verse 13 speaks of someone who is running the race of faith, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Verse 13 is speaking of someone who has laid aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Running the race, looking unto Jesus. That's what make straight paths for your feet is talking about. And so how you run, and sometimes we think it doesn't matter how I run this race of faith, long as I get to the end, but that's not true. For how you run this race of faith matters, because it prepares you and enables you then to come alongside someone else who's weak and needs strength and encouragement from a brother and sister in the Lord. How you run matters. Staying on course and making straight paths for your feet matters. John Owen, commenting on this verse, writes, "To make straight paths is to walk uprightly in the path of obedience, and so to walk may see and know that our paths are straight. For this is necessary to the end proposed, namely, the preservation of others from being turned out for their recovery from wandering." The Holy Spirit has an eye here on you and how you run and how it affects other people and how you might be prepared to help them and recover them from their wandering. And these are the paths that you're going to have to run during times of adversity and suffering and chastening from the Lord. It's easy to run on a straight path when there is no other resistance or nothing distracting us on the left or the right. Here in chapter 11, as we went through that, the Spirit of God used multiple people and giving us examples of their lives to encourage us to run the race of faith, did He not? Did He not point us to people who are running the race of faith, who are believing in God's promises? For what reason? so that we would do the same? And did he not ultimately point us to the Lord Jesus Christ, who endured the cross, despising its shame, suffering hostilities from sinners against himself? He pointed us to these people and to the Lord Jesus Christ so that our hands would be strengthened and our knees would be strengthened. You are to set straight paths for your feet. You are to run those paths so that when God does call on you to help those whose hands are hanging down, who aren't strong enough even to lift their hands to pump so they can force air into their lungs and run this race of faith, when you see that in somebody, if you are walking a straight path in obedience and faith, God can use you to come alongside someone else and say, hey, put your eyes on Jesus. Keep running to the end and put your eyes on Christ. Now, this may sound like a tall order, and it really is, but it is our duty and it is our obligation as brothers and sisters in the Lord to come alongside those who are struggling, to those who are questioning their faith in Christ possibly, to those who have abandoned the race of faith in Christ. And I tell you, sometimes when you meet somebody like that, it's almost like we just shut down and we turn away. Rather than come alongside them and say, let me help you, brother or sister. Let me help strengthen the hands that are hanging down and the feeble knees. And why are you to do this? Why are you to come alongside and strengthen hands that hang down and feeble knees? Why are you to keep running on a straight path of obedience? The Spirit says, so that what is lame may be healed and not dislocated. That's what we see in the last part of verse 13. You see, there is a purpose for you coming alongside somebody who's struggling in their faith. There is a purpose here for you to be running on the straight path so that the Lord can use you to help those and bring healing to those who are hurting. We who are, by faith, trusting in Christ Jesus, running the race of faith in obedience to Him with our eyes on Him, the Lord says He wants to use us to bring healing to those who have gotten off track, to those who are no longer looking to Jesus as the way to the Father. It doesn't always work out that you going to them will bring healing. That's been some of my experience, and I'm sure some of yours. And I've had that experience in just the last year with somebody who professed faith, not only professed faith, but somebody who was training for the ministry and now has turned away. And I've spoken to you of that person before. But having gone to them, talked to them, they did not want to hear. And sometimes that's the way that it goes. And that is up to the Lord. What the Lord is calling us to is to make ourselves available to Him that He might use us to bring healing. And so that which is lame would not be dislocated. So the Lord calls us to exhort and come alongside those who are becoming lame so that they will not be totally separated from the body. This is the means God uses. Instructing others who are weak in the faith, in the Word, in the Gospel, and pointing them to Jesus. That's what they need to hear. They need to be pointed back to Jesus Christ. Because this is exactly what the Spirit of God told us is how we are to run the race. And if somebody is getting off course, you can bet that it is because they have stopped looking at Jesus. They're looking at their situation, they're looking at their spouse, they're looking at their job, they're looking at a hardship they may have suffered. But they have stopped looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When we read Isaiah chapter 35, I mentioned verses 3 and 4, which tell us, strengthen the weak hands and make the feeble knees. Make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. That's the message that we need to take to people who are weak in the knees and their hands are hanging down as they run this race of faith. Be strong. Do not fear. Your God will save you. And He has come in the person of Jesus Christ. He came to seek and to save the lost. The erring person, the one who once professed faith in Christ, needs to hear this again, that they might be strengthened. As we read Isaiah 35, I hope that you saw that the rest of that chapter, and I'm going to read verses 5 and 10 again, the rest of Isaiah 35 speaks like what we know is the house. There is to be celebration. Verses 5 shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall be in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A high, and it shall be called the high. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up upon it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. With they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is where you want to point, because that passage is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is where we want to point people who are erring or weak in their faith. And my friends, it could be us one day. And if and when it is, how much will you be loving that someone would come alongside of you and say, look to Jesus. We cannot leave anyone behind. It is not our job to convince them, but it is our job to tell them, look to Jesus, and you will be strengthened. Look to Jesus, and you do not have to fear. You do not have to be afraid. So as we run the race of faith, part of our running is to come alongside those who are weak, whose knees are weak, whose hands are hanging down, and they're no longer able to pump air into their life, no longer able to run this race. That is part of your race. That is part of what you are called to do. Can you think of somebody who did that in the Scriptures? I would say to you, think of Jesus. And think of Jesus and think of Peter. And think of how it would have been so easy for Jesus to just, you know, say, based on what you've done, you know, you're on your own. But he did not. He came to Peter and called him back. He called him to follow Jesus, to serve him. And so that's part of following Jesus. It's part of running the race of faith to even to go to them with the word, those who have turned away from the faith. For it is not too long for the Lord to reach those who are struggling and haven't even outwardly turned away from the faith. to exhort them to look to the finish line, as we read earlier in Hebrews, where they will see Jesus, who finished his race and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And what is at that finish line for those who persevere? As I read to you Isaiah 35:10, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That's what you want to point them to. And that these things only come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, do you know someone whose hands are heavy and whose knees are weak? In this point in your life today, do you know someone who's struggling in the faith? Who have dropped out of church? Maybe because of the church. Someone who has even isolated themselves from the body of Christ for whatever reason. Could it be the Lord has them in your life so that you could go to them, lifting up their hands and strengthening their knees and bringing healing in the name of Jesus Christ, pointing them back to the Lord Jesus to fix their eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. That's how we don't leave people behind. That's how the body of Christ cares for one another, exhorting one another until the end. May the Lord use us that way for His glory. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for your word and these encouragements from it. We pray, Lord, that you would help us not to turn away from those who are struggling in their faith and who seem, Lord, like they are turning away. This whole book of Hebrews was written for people who were struggling in their faith, who had or were considering turning back to Judaism. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be humble vessels used in your hand to reach your people. We ask.